Technorama episode 347 for July 4th, 2012. Independence Day. Holiday or movie?
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a former U.S. president's head on a stick.
Over there, in the media corner.
Just like at the carnival.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for July 4th, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. Thank you for giving us your time. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is the vociferous Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm melting.
Because it's so hot.
You know it's hot when the dog starts to melt. Sorry, that was a picture. Yeah, it's been warm. You know, it's kind of funny because I took one of those stories out of the news or on the show notes. We just have so much stuff. It's been a wild week of crazy Technorama news. And one of them that we had to throw on the cutting room floor was the one about the scientists who reached a new ultimate temperature of like 4 trillion degrees by smashing gold atoms together.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I think he was doing that outside today.
Right. You didn't need a particle collider. You just had to walk outside and, you know, hit your wife's wedding ring and you've got 4
Idiot.
Trillion degrees.
Stupid. Yeah, man. Like, hey, I got in the car and the car said 110. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I go down the road and, of course, it dropped to 109. I was like, oh, that's much better.
Oh, yeah.
Much cooler. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Makes me wonder what it's going to be like in August.
I know.
It's going to be tough. All right. Enough about the weather, because by the time this comes out, it'll be a different weather. This is our U.S. Independence Day, 4th of July podcast. Coming up in this episode, we have a cloudy cloud situation, or solution, excuse me, boost your cell phone signal with a banana, and felonious assault by another comic character. All that and more coming up right after this.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune in to Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
This is Richard Garriott.
Lord British.
Private Space Explorer. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hey, we want to turn to the birthday calendar because this show is a networked event in certain sense, a social networked event. And on our birthday calendar, we have July 4th, Mike McBride, fellow Friends in Tech member. Thank you very much. Wait,
You're
we
welcome.
Should have our little Friends in Tech thing. There. Peter, July 6th, 1982, Sweden. That makes him 30. Wow, people born in 1982 are 30 already. Yikes.
I don't like that.
July 8th is...
Do not like.
Two birthdays. Mark Lee, a.k.a. Geek Dad. I almost said Greek Dad. Apparently it's Stardate 35151909. That sounds
Wait,
like the beginning of pie.
It's Geek Dad 72.
Geek Dad 72. Thank you. And Mon Templar, better known as Alan Ralph, is also born on July 8th. Kevin Devon, our other Friends in Tech. We got two Friends in Tech people coming up this week.
Yeah, how about that?
Kevin Devon, a.k.a. The Devon.
The Devin.
Every year, you got to remember that he was born a day early, or he would have been Kevin Devin, born on 7/11.
Oh, I know.
Happy birthday to all those people. Yeah, well, you know, leap year, leap second. I'm still suffering from that leap second last weekend.
Yeah, well, that was tough.
I feel so much older.
Hey, was that a leap in, like you could sleep in an extra second?
Yeah, I feel so much more refreshed. Don't you?
Yeah. If I just had about, you know, 240 more of those.
Daylight saving second.
Mm-hmm.
We have an interesting factoid in the on this day in history about days and calendars and things, too. So stick around for that. And okay. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar and you want to be on the calendar, easy to do. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name on there. Otherwise, there's a link on the Technorama website. Easy to find, easy to do. Make yourself known, and we'll give you a shout-out. Happy birthday to you. We do this show live every Sunday night. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, the people who have been listening for a while do, but somebody who's new may not. Welcome, new listener. If you want to see how the show is made live every week, you can go to Google Plus and follow Technorama Podcast. And Craig has discovered there's a new events thing. We're still getting the hang of that, but it'll actually put it on your Google Calendar. I thought that was uber cool.
It is cool. I think Robert Scoble had a little issue with that because, you know, he has so many followers.
Oh,
he's
dear.
I think he's the hyper user. And I say hyper because it's got so many followers, or not user, but, you know, social networker kind of, because he's got so many followers, right? So people were making events right and left on Google Plus when they announced it. He ended up with like thousands and his calendar looked, it was unusable.
It only gets in your calendar if you accept them, though. If you say,
I'm going. Well, that's what I thought. So I don't know if they changed something right after they launched it or, you know, just kind of went nuts at first.
If he's the hyper user, then I'm the hypo user.
The hypo user. I'm just typo.
Hypo spray.
So, but I didn't have any trouble with it until I said, you know, yes or no. You know, not trouble, but it didn't show up on my calendar until then.
Let's do that history thing.
All right.
On this day in history for July 4th, 2012, it was on this date in 1054 that a supernova is seen by Chinese, Arab, and possibly American Indian observers near the star Zeta Tauri. For several months, it remains bright enough to be seen even during the day. The remnants form what we now see as the Crab Nebula.
Cool. And at West Point, New York, the United States Military Academy opens up on this date in 1802, another shining star.
Also on that date in 1817, construction of the Erie Canal begins at Rome, New York.
Grand Junction Railway, the world's first long-distance railway, opens between Birmingham and Liverpool 175 years ago today.
And on this date in 1862, Lewis Carroll tells Alice Little a story that would grow into Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and its sequels.
And the book Alice in Wonderland's Adventures is published exactly 3 years later to the date.
July 4th, 1886, the people of France offer a Statue of Liberty to the people of the United States. I guess they offered it, but when did we accept it?
I don't know. But
allow
know
6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Hey, it arrives. We didn't order this. That very same day, the first scheduled Canadian transcontinental train arrives in Port Moody in the British Columbia.
120 years ago today, Western Samoa changes the international dateline so that that year, there were actually 367 days in this country with two occurrences of Monday, July 4th. That's a whole lot of fireworks.
And a lot more extra seconds. And on this date in 1903, Dorothy Levitt is reported to be the first woman in the world to complete a motor race. Wow.
It's not a ladies' sport.
It's not proper.
First flight of the Lockheed Vega was today in 1927.
And Leo Szilard. Okay. I'll go with that. Patents the chain reaction design for the atomic bomb on this date, 1934.
I wonder what the patent application looked like for that.
Ink blew up all over it.
62 years ago marks the first broadcast of Radio Free Europe.
And it was also today in 1997 The NASA Pathfinder space probe lands on the surface of Mars. Has it been that long?
The cornerstone of the Freedom Tower is laid on the site of the World Trade Center in New York City 8 years ago.
And today in 2005, the Deep Impact Collider hits the comet Tempel 1.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Welsh surveyor George Everest, born today in 1790. Can you guess what he's famous for?
Anthills?
Swiss cheese?
Molehills?
Binary clocks.
Yeah. And writer Nathan Hawthorne was
Nathaniel.
Also born.
Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Man, stop messing me up.
Scarlet letter.
Writer Nathan. All right, here we go. Serious face. Right. Writer Nathaniel Hawthorne, born today in 1804.
The other half of Barnum and Bailey, American circus impresario James Anthony Bailey, was born today in 1847.
And American film producer Louis B. Mayer would have been 140 years ago today, or old.
Very good. Sharing that same birthday in 1883, American cartoonist Rube Goldberg.
Wow, I thought you were going to say machine after that, but okay. And twin sisters who went in the same occupation, advice columns, Ann Landers and Abigail B. I'm sorry, Abigail.
Start over.
Twin sisters who went into the same occupation, advice columnists, Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren, Dear Abby, a.k.a. Dear Abby, a.k.a. were born today in 1918. Ann passed away 10 years ago, and Abby would have turned 94 today.
No, she is 94 today.
Oh, she's
still
alive.
Oh,
huh. Give her some advice.
Reporter Geraldo Rivero turned 69. I guess he gets an empty safe for his birthday.
Yeah, not a chair to the face. And video game designer and astronaut Richard Garriott celebrates his 51st today.
Woohoo! And finally, turning 41 today, Coco, the sign language gorilla. And that's the way it was on this day in history for July 4th, 2012.
Fancy men.
Actually, this isn't bad news. This is good news. Scientists plan to hack Stephen Hawking's brain. I think Ben Heck ought to get involved with this one.
While he's using it or afterwards?
A team of Stanford scientists has revealed that it plans to sit Stephen Hawking down in a room, place a device on his head. Suddenly, Professor Farnsworth's gizmos come to mind. The what if
what's
machine.
What's this long thing longer?
And literally hack his brain to work out what's going on in there. The scientists who have developed a tool they call the, yeah, you get this, iBrain, Apple's going to sue him, will do this on stage at a conference in Cambridge, UK next month. Philip Lowe, professor at Stanford and inventor of the iBrain, explains to The Telegraph, "This is very exciting for us because it allows us to have a window into the brain. We're building technology that will allow humanity to have access to the human brain for the first time. We'd like to find a way to bypass Stephen's body, pretty much hack his brain." Do you know what they're going to find out?
Oh, what? Baby. Nice Higgs bosons.
Yeah, they're going to find out he actually likes cat videos on the internet just like everybody else.
How'd you like to particle collide with me?
Oh, boy.
Take me to the cat videos.
Yeah. What is in this brain? So they're doing this while he's alive. I was thinking, get the brain that's, the one that says
abnormal.
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 I've heard of Einstein's brain is in a jar.
Right.
Is that true or not? I don't know.
But they're gonna tap in, and the first thing on the speaker is gonna be black holes.
Hey, babe, black holes.
I think they need to put more research into the. Maybe they could just call Google, because Google's artificial brain loves to watch cat videos.
I know, isn't this funny?
That's awesome. Apparently, hidden away within Google's X laboratory, where all kinds of secret projects are underway. Its engineers have been working on creating an artificial brain with 16,000 computer processors and freedom to learn whatever chooses from the internet. Though it turns out that the brain does just what you do online. Watch cat videos.
Yeah, production goes, and then
all this CPU power to watch YouTube or Simon's Cat.
Simon's
Cat. There's a new Simon's Cat out, by the way. It's pretty funny. If you have
a
cat.
I've never seen that.
Oh,
what is that?
You got Simon's Cat. It's a little animated short. You got to go watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He captures the essence of a cat and all its mannerisms very, very well. Just a cute little short.
Was this on YouTube or something?
No, simonscat.com.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out.
It comes across my news feed every once in a while. So, what do you think they're going to find out in Stephen Hawking's brain? Do you think that it'll free him up to express more information? I mean, because already he's got a way to do that with the, you know, with the computer setup he's got.
I don't know.
He's a pretty high-level thinker.
Well, that's just it. I don't think I can reach up to that level and think about what he's thinking about.
Hurdy brain.
Yeah. You know what? No. Maybe they'll get some feedback because he's thinking about what is in his brain. Sort of kind of a little
Stop.
Vicious cycle there.
Stop.
That's strange stories.
So apparently, scientists have invented particles that will let you live without breathing. Not those breathe right strips.
Not the breathe right strips.
No. This may actually seem like something right out of a science fiction movie. Researchers have designed microparticles that can be injected directly into the bloodstream to quickly oxygenate your body, even if you can't breathe anymore. It's one of the best medical breakthroughs in recent years, and one that could save millions of lives every year.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Okay, so if you can't breathe anymore, you better be pretty quick to have this on you.
Right? Right. So I'm thinking, why not just take it all the time, jump in the lake, no more Aquaman. You think about it. You don't need Aquaman anymore. You can have Google invent some kind of telepathy thing with the dolphins, you know, and you can breathe underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
I like this line right here. It says the invention developed by a team at Boston's Children's Hospital will allow medical teams to keep patients alive for alive and well for at least 15 to 30 minutes despite major respiratory failure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's only a 15 to 30 minute thing.
Well,
it's not
going to
keep
it?
You alive forever. If the water accepts you, then you're innocent.
Huh?
The old,
I don't know, man.
The old test to see if you're a witch.
Well, my first thought was before I clicked on this link at all today, I kept thinking, gills. You know, they were going to have
right.
gills.
Right, like Harry Potter's gilly weed thing or...
Yeah, that's it.
Right. It could work. Come on.
Would you do this? I'd be so scared to not try and breathe or need a gasp of air. You know, I think this would take some training to be able to...
Right. There's a certain instinct you have to keep breathing. But if you had complete respiratory failure, that would be bizarre. Not breathing, but still being alive.
I guess that would be a motivator too, wouldn't
it? If you weren't breathing, you couldn't talk. Right? Because you have to have air going through your vocal cords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, what if you come up out of the water? Imagine you got to get the water out of your lungs. You know, even though you can walk around and... Yeah, you'd be like, you know, whatever. I don't know.
I think it's a cool story. I'd like to see more.
It sounds cool. It just seems like there's some flaws in logic. I don't know who would want to test this. There's no way I could do that.
Speaking of flaws in logic, that was a very nice segue. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Scientists have also created a rock, paper, scissors robot with 100% win rate. Yes, it's a robot that has...
Did you watch the video?
Three little mechanical fingers that come out.
Mm-hmm.
Two means scissors, none means rock, three means paper, right? So you go 1, 2, 3. And then they show it in slow motion. And what happens is it waits for your fingers to come out or not and then expresses it. But it's so fast at computer speed, it looks like it's simultaneous until you slow it down.
Yeah. So it's not actually choosing at the same time.
It's reacting.
At the same moment you are or even before. It's like it's reacting. So it's still... You know,
let's see it play against a four-year-old where they're not that dexterous and they go 1, 2, 3 and they can't really get their fingers out quite right and this thing's going to go reacting to four different things at the same time.
Yeah. What if you did like this, you know, like in slow motion?
1, 2, Spock!
Yeah. Spock, lizard, what?
Fire! Yeah, fire!
What if you did your hand, you know, you let just a couple of fingers come out but kept the rock? And then it made paper. And I think I could fake it.
It says 100%.
I don't know. I think I can fake it, man.
The article says, in this research, we developed the Jenkin rocker paper scissors robot with 100% winning rate as in one example of human-machine cooperation systems. Human being plays one of rock, paper, scissors at the timing of 1, 2, 3. According to the timing, the robot hand plays one of three kinds so that as to beat the human being. Mm-hmm. Now you're saying,
what if you did this? What if you took a piece of paper and cut out what looks like two fingers?
What if you put two of these robots together?
And you tape it, you know, so it looks like just paper, you know.
It will always react to the paper.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you can win it.
No, put two of these robots next to each other so they have to react to each other.
Pretty soon it's going real fast.
Wee-doh-y, look at it go.
Then they stop and conspire to kill all humans.
You think that rock, paper, scissors is just a game invented to decide who goes first or designate a driver or whatever? No. There are rock, paper, scissors championship tournaments. That's right. It's a serious game with up to $50,000 on the line every time.
What?
And no. It requires no... Oh, yeah. Check out the link.
I'm looking at the link right now.
My friend. Tim Elliott sent that along, and I think it goes just well with this robot. So apparently, if you build the robot, it'll pay for itself if you go to one of these tournaments, because you'll always win. Some of this, I think, is just goofy. It says, if you play a male...
You know what this reminds me of is the Rubik's Cube competitions they had.
It says most males start out with rock every time, so if you're playing against a male, start out with paper, and you're almost guaranteed to win.
50K? Who puts up the money for them to play?
I don't know. The RPS Foundation, of course.
The RPS?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, okay. All right,
Craig's a little slow this evening.
Maybe I should just drink more beer.
It says males have a tendency to throw a rock on their first try. Inexperienced RPS players will subconsciously deliver the item that won previously, and paper is thrown least often. So use it as a surprise. And remember, when in doubt, throw a Spock. Your opponent will never know what hit him. You'll be disqualified, but at least you'll go out fighting. I thought they meant like a Vulcan neck pinch.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors, Spock, lizard.
Yeah, what was that with Spock, lizard, what?
Well, on...
I heard about that, but I can't remember what it was
On the Big Bang Theory, Sheldon came up with a theory that rock, paper, scissors didn't have enough outcomes, so what they did was to kind of change up the odds was do rock, paper, scissors, Spock, lizard, and the other two options added more, you know...
Permutations.
Outcomes for the...
Yeah.
Yeah, permutations. And even on ThinkGeek, they got a shirt that says rock, paper, lizard, you know, and then it has... lizard kills Spock. Spock kills the. You know, it's funny. See, you should be watching Big Bang Theory. I was a convert. At first, I was thinking, I don't know. And then you watch it, and it is funny. You got to see it.
It's too sitcom-y for me. I am allergic to canned laughter.
Hey, wait, no, wait a minute. But this show speaks to you.
I am allergic to canned laughter.
You have to see it.
It actually makes me aggressive.
Do this. At least watch it a couple times.
If a show is that funny, it should be able to stand on its own without a fake audience.
I don't know that it has a fake audience. How about that?
Oh, yeah, there's just a sign that says applause. We got one of those, too. You think we'll get our audience to do that?
I do can think
find
you
it
should
in
do
these punch cards.
I think you should do yourself a favor and at least watch it a couple times.
I started. It got on my nerves. I'll be honest. It didn't resonate
with me. Oh,
my God.
Are you serious? There's so much.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's so much funny stuff on there. And
I'm sure there is. There's a lot of funny stuff on a lot of shows.
Like ours? No. No, but as far as there's math that actually is correct sometimes. I'm telling you, I would like to hear
a lot
of
funny stuff in Eureka. There's a lot of funny stuff in Warehouse 13, but they don't have canned laughter.
that's not the type of show it was set up for. Can you imagine putting a laugh track on that?
Just put a laugh track on this
laugh
show.
Track on Warehouse 13.
All right, we're gonna take a real quick break. We'll be right back with the Remember When segment, where will we be talking about old PSA drinking posters and how they used to be deadly. And we bid farewell to a technology that precursors the internet. Right after this.
Hello, ladies and gents. Look at your fiction. Now back to me. Now back at your fiction. Now back to me. Sadly, your fiction is not Flagship Magazine, but you can still listen or read it in the format of your choice. Look down. Back up. Where are we? We are on a ship, sailing to the infinite destinations that Pirate's Cove magazine can bring you. What's in your hand? Back to me. I have it. It's a needle, meant to subdue a victim, to torture them both physically and mentally, for the enjoyment of Abattoir magazine readers. So pick up the Flying Island Press magazine of your choice, and let fiction take you where you want to go. I've been abducted.
If you go back, about 100 years or so, because, none of us are that old, you'll remember some public service announcement drinking posters that were really kind of creepy in a way. Yeah, that's lovely. Craig's got one up on the still store there. Apparently, if you drink, you'll be visited by death itself. They have these old sepia-toned pictures. Yeah. Don't play. Wow. Look at her. She's looking at him like, hey you're kind of cute. Looks like one of those eHarmony ads.
I think she's saying, no, her eyes are saying, let's hurry up and finish this poker game.
Want to go upstairs and you got boned.
Now she's rethinking it.
there's one a little further down where there's one of these skeletal creepy figures outside the window. And he looks like he's just having a party of his life. Scroll down. You got that?
I just got the
you
picture. Hold on a second.
You just pulled up the picture. Pull up the webpage. You gotta find that one. But
right, hold a second.
It's got, lots of these. Some of them look even superimposed, kind of like the old, original daguerreotype pictures that.
Go down.
Yeah, that looks almost pornographic. I'm sorry. Leaning over the table.
I think the skeleton's actually smiling.
Go down. Lower. Yeah, there. No. That one.
Oh, this one? Oh.
Where he's outside the window.
Oh. Yeah.
It looks like something out of a John Carpenter film or something.
The skeleton
or
always
Scooby-Doo.
Watches. Yeah, I'm ready for, yeah. Okay, that's kind of weird.
Hi, honey, would you like a little sherry? I like some too!
Sherry? Is that what they drank back then?
Who knows?
I thought you might know.
I don't make sherry. Frankie Valli.
You ever tasted sherry?
No, I've tasted port.
Is that related?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Port is like a sweeter dessert wine. So, yeah, don't drink in the 1900s. You'll be visited by death. Now it's okay. Death will visit you.
No. You know what this reminds me of is, what was that? It was like a video, a movie that they made a long time ago. It was like marijuana propaganda about how bad it is. And the guy would, they're sitting around, they're smoking a marijuana cigarette, and the guy takes a few puffs and he flips out and jumps out the window. It's like, What?
Nice.
It made him crazy. He's on the pot. And runs out the window. What was that? I forget, but it's funny.
Well, this past weekend, France is closed Minitel. What is Minitel, you ask? It's an information service on computers that predates the internet. Yeah, isn't that a lovely thing? The service was mostly successful of video text, which uses dial-up modems to send information to and from a monitor or television screen. Minitel was launched in 1982 by the government-controlled agencies that provided telephone and postal services. Originally, they wanted to distribute, make this an easy service for looking up telephone numbers. That part was free. But there were other premium services, premium providers, or people got on board. They said, hey, look at all the eyeballs looking at the phone directories. We want to be a part of that, too. So they started throwing in things like text-based chat, probably an adventure game or two. Who knows? But after 30 Zork. Years, the Zork, go west. You're standing in a field.
You're standing in front of a mailbox.
Check mail. You've got mail. Pick up mail. You've got bills.
You got bills.
Read mail. So Minitel is being shut down. I wonder how many people actually use the service today with the internet. How many people have actually used it in the last 10 or 15 years?
I know. Well, actually, it's funny. I was even at Home Depot today, and I the register said it was a self checkout. And said,
"Yeah,
this register is not set up to take cash." I was like, "When was the last time I used cash?" that's pretty bad. I told the woman at the register. Huh? You still use cash?
Yeah. Here's an interesting quote. It says, most of the types of information and communication that can be found on the web today featured on Minitel in one form or another, though pages were only available as monochrome text, meaning...
Wait, so how did they watch cat videos?
Animated text.
Animated text GIFs?
ANSI graphics. Okay. Amazingly, an estimated 600,000 Minitel terminals are still being used. Wow. Seems to be the most common in rural areas where farmers use it for contacting officials or agricultural service providers. What's the price of corn today? One farmer told the New York Times that the Minitel, while hardly a design classic, was sturdy enough to survive in an animal barn, unlike modern devices. They keep stepping on my iPhone. It does have a very industrial look, but the keyboard layout is a bit different. I think this might be the European layout. Instead of QWERTY, it's in AZERTY format. I think we've talked about different keyboard layouts in the past.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember when at the Computer History Museum, we saw some Commodore PETs that had some weird keyboard configurations, and I think one of them was a European layout or something. And I kept thinking, no, it looks familiar, but also different.
I'll check out the computer while European. Ba-doom-tsh.
I'm a pean European.
In the media corner. Yeah, moving right along. In the media corner, you know, we have this new Spider-Man movie coming out, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you go way back, that's not a good graphic, Craig. That reminds me of Archie Out of Context on Tumblr. Oh, yeah. Have you seen that, Archie Out of Context?
No, it's probably like the Garfield minus Garfield thing.
Oh, it's worse. There's so many innuendos in the Archie comics that it's ridiculous. If you just take one panel, it's bad. It's, you know, imagine this taken out of context. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at it.
I know. That's what's bad. For the past 50 years, nerdy Peter Parker has maintained the mantle of Marvel Comics superhero Spider-Man. And even though the web slinger's escapades are frequently befuddled and uncomfortable, he's recognized in the public sphere as the Spider-Man. The thing is, another Spider-Man hit the scene 15 years before Peter Parker.
Wow, 15?
And this character, dubbed Spider-Man with no hyphen, it was Spider-Spaceman, not S-P-A-C-E, was completely unrelated bad guy who showed up in but a single issue. Meet the original, disgusting, and ratty Spider-Man of 1947, a fursuit-wearing crime lord who enjoyed shooting glue into strangers' mouths. Spider-Man's first and only comic appearance was 65 years ago in Whiz Comics number 89 by publisher Fawcett Comics. He was invented by writer Otto Binder, not Bender, and illustrator Kurt Schaffenberger as a nemesis for Captain Marvel, a crime fighter who would join DC Comics' stable of heroes in the ensuing decades when DC acquired Fawcett's characters. Does this mean DC could someday resurrect Spider-Man? Oh boy, this guy's a riot. Can't you just hear like one of those snivelly character voices?
Yeah.
I'll get you, new policeman in the web.
That's exactly what it sounds like to
me. Right.
Ha-ha! All done! My invention squirts out a liquid plastic which hardens and forms a sticky thread when it hits the air. I learned this by watching spiders at work. I weave my webs.
And Spider-Man.
Holy crap, that voice is hard on the vocal cords.
Good thing you don't do that one for a living.
I'm sure it would get easier if I got paid for it. I'd do anything for a dollar.
Yeah, how about that for a dollar?
This show's going to be full of sound bites, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what we do best.
So, yeah, the original Spider-Man, gotta love him. But I don't think he's making a huge comeback. Maybe he could be a nemesis of the real Spider-Man. I'm Spider the Bad Spider-Man.
So, Peter Parker.
All right. I want some of these, and I want to distribute them at Dragon Con. Apparently, the Daleks have gotten a lot politer lately.
A lot politer.
Somebody, yeah, they may want to exterminate you, but at least Daleks are decent enough to let you know they've come around and missed you. Redditor Narfy claims that monstrous cyborgs left this calling card on the doorknob of his friend's house yesterday morning. Almost makes you wish some Daleks would pay you a visit, doesn't it? This reminds me of when the guy who kills the weeds comes around. Weed Man's been here.
Weed Man.
The door hanger is from the awesome wallpaper featured below. Click to enlarge. It says Daleks. It's got the cutout so it can go over your door handle. We were in your home today. And there's checkboxes. The first one says, to change AC filter, to exterminate, and that one's checked off, to repair plumbing, for preventive maintenance, for requested maintenance, other. We could not complete work requested because the doctor is written in.
That's funny. As has the doctor.
I want some of these. I think these would be fun to hang on people's hotel rooms in the Westin.
Oh, at Dragon Con.
For further information, listen to Technorama. Around.
Yeah, just walk
marketing
around and
idea.
Put them on.
Yeah,
the...
that's what I said.
Oh, is it?
Well, slapping them on hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm. That would be funny.
Well, you can't put them on the inside. Put them on the outside where it says "Do not disturb."
Yeah.
And the maids will think, "What's this?" The maids are going to say, "Oh, the Daleks have already taken care of this room."
We had to change that. We were in your home today. We are in your room today.
we stopped by your room while you were out.
Yeah.
To change the bath towels.
We couldn't complete your work because of the doctor.
The doctor, he's in everybody's room.
Yeah.
That'd be
funny.
By
the way, even down below, there's a wallpaper for your computer that has that on there.
Oh, beautiful. And, you know, we still have one more in the Geek Library, but finally in the Media Corner, we went to see Brave this last weekend. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
New Disney animated short.
Pixar.
Pixar, sorry. Yeah. I forgot they went their separate ways now.
No, they're still together.
Interesting dedication at the end, though. There was a dedication to Steve Jobs.
Oh, was it? I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been working on that right up until his last days.
I'm sure he had his hand in every Disney or Pixar film.
I'm sure he did also.
Well, sort of.
Good story, though. Good story. It was funny because Lisa kept noticing there were pieces and parts of other stories kind of blended in. She goes, oh, now they're on the Odyssey. And then they find the witch's cabin.
Don't spoil it now.
I'm not going to spoil it, but they find the witch's cabin. And I go, and now they're on Shrek. Get yeah. out of my swamp! You'll see it. You'll know exactly what scene I'm talking about. When
what's the girl's name in Brave? The main character, the redhead.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember it right now.
Well, there's.
I thought the animation was outstanding. Not from the fact that it was. You know, it's obviously a CGI movie, and you know they've got the hair. They've got the fur. They've got, you know, all these things down. The thing that just knocked my socks off this time was the scene at the stream. And you'll see it when it comes up. But they're trying to catch fish. And they show this stream. And honest to goodness, it looks like a real stream. You see this fish underwater and the light is refracted just right. Like, holy smokes. They must either seriously done some CPU power to render this thing, or it is overlaid from a real stream because of this splashing. I mean, it looks awesome. Meanwhile, the waterfalls are falling and the fish are swimming and the water is going around people. It looked real. I was blown away at that scene. My jaw was on the floor going, wow. I know you're supposed to like get into the story and not think about these things, but, you know, I got kind of a techie producer kind of mentality going on in my head. And I'm like, how the heck did they do that? That's cool. So, I appreciate the hard work.
Well, yeah. And I would say, well, of course, every movie they've come out with has gotten progressively better. Because, like, look at Toy Story 3. I'm sorry, Up, to begin with. Up, you could see the threads and clothing and stuff. And then Toy Story 3 looked even better than 2 and all that did. I've heard that the animation is fantastic in this.
It really was. I was thoroughly impressed, and I look forward to more stuff. This is the first non-sequel that they've come out with in several years. I mean,
which is weird, because remember they said that they wouldn't make sequels. They didn't make sequels for a long time. All of a sudden they started doing it when Disney came along.
Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, Cars 2.
Although I do have a soft spot for Toy Story, so I'm going to fault them for a couple. I would like to see another Incredibles, you know.
I think, that's got some potential to have a follow-up story if it's well-written enough.
I could even see doing that traditional animation. That would be cool.
I think in real life, they ought to do an IRL Incredibles. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Why not?
Yeah, I can check that one out. Oh, what I was going to say was, I was trying to find out the main character's name because there was a movie on Netflix and it said Kira or something like that. And it said,
it's
Miranda or something. Anyway, on Netflix, it said, not related to the movie Brave. And I was like, why would they put that in there? You know, I didn't quite get that, but.
Huh.
Some weird, it's one of those movies they like, it's like a knockoff movie that they came out with real quick or something. You ever seen those in the grocery store?
It's like Merida. That's what her name is. Kelly McDonald does the voice of Merida.
Well, you ever seen those knockoff films in the grocery store and stuff?
Yeah.
It's like Puss in Boots, but it's like, you know, hand-drawn animation. You can obviously tell it's not the one that's in the theater, but it's like, where'd this come from?
Billy Connolly does the voice of Fergus, her dad. He almost looks like the character he plays. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I liked that in the trailer. I thought that looked pretty cool.
That's funny. Yeah, really good job with the voices, the characters, the writing. I liked it. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. This is definitely worth seeing in the theater. I did not see it in 3D. I am not endorsing Hollywood to go make more 3D movies. Thank you.
No.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, we should have a new movie rating called Upchucks. How many Upchucks?
Yeah, that's funny. Would that be a good rating or a bad rating? I'm not sure.
This one gets 5 Upchucks. What?
Right. Let's move on to the Geek Library, and then we'll get these people out of here. They want to go home.
Okay, all right.
Of course, you know, in the podcast world, you can just hit pause and come back later, but
sure,
you and I need to get going.
Just don't forget.
So there's a tattoo on the show notes links There's an image of a tattoo. This guy got a rather geeky tattoo. He had PHP code written on his arm. Just two lines. So on his right arm, it says, if not dollar risk, dollar gain equals zero. So no risk, no gain, right? And on the other arm, it says, if not dollar lost, dollar learned equals zero. Right? So nothing, yeah. Nothing lost, nothing learned. Or nothing risk, nothing gain. If you could have some kind of code or geeky tattoo of some type, what would you put on it?
You're asking me?
Yeah. I think one of my favorites was an error code that I got from the Microsoft C compiler years and years ago.
An error code?
Yeah, an error code. It said error, what was it? Error C6001 normal undefined.
Okay, good one.
Because I had a constant named normal in my C program, and I forgot to define it.
I do like the ones that I've seen people get that said, you know, it was HTML. It said body, head, you know, that kind of thing. I have to think about that one a good bit. I probably, maybe the Atari logo or something like that. Well,
would you put code on your arm?
Only if I was sure I could run it first and make sure it was valid.
Yeah, you wouldn't want somebody to call you out. You got a syntax error.
Yeah, you got too many parens in this line.
Dag nabbit. That's where you just put a Band-Aid over it for a year.
Yeah, there's no running that. You got to make sure it's right. That's right. I don't know if I put code.
Think about it. You got to live with that code for the rest of the year. So when you get to be like 70, your kids are going to go, what's that, Grandpa?
Hey, that's how we used to have to write programs.
On our skin. Appeal both ways. No. Hey, by the way, this guy has got this little bit of ink work on the most tender part of your arm, and it's the inside of it.
And he didn't put any space after the if. I'm really bummed. His syntax is crummy.
Man, I'm gonna give him that.
He put spaces around the equals. Come on. He didn't define what risk and gain actually are. Undefined variables. You got an error.
Warning. But I will add one more thing to this story. Dude needs a shave, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he shaved the tattooed parts, but yeah, he is a hairy Gomer, isn't he?
I think it looks like something's trying to escape from his armpit.
We want to know from you, friendly listeners.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Would you could put some code on your arm? What would it say? Tell us, because I know a number of you are programmers, and we want to hear from you.
Do a hello world.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Look, my baby's got a tattoo.
I would do it in assembly. Except, you know, tattoo is charged by the character.
Yeah, so was the tattoo.
It'd have to be really small. Put it, you know, just do a QR code or something.
Fill up your back with binary and it says hello world.
It's like some assembler for a processor that's not made anymore.
You know, my brother-in-law does tattoos, and I often wanted to try, see what it felt like, but I didn't want to get a whole tattoo. I thought about just getting him to tattoo a freckle on my arm.
A dot.
Yeah, no, just a freckle.
You know, tattoo so a third in. Eyebrow, a third eyeball in the middle of your forehead.
Okay, no. No.
That's stupid. Let's go. Yeah. That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. You gave us all this time, and we hope you might do it again. Have some intoxicating beverages, and it'll feel better. Take two aspirin, call us in the morning. There are many ways to show your love. Call the listener line, like my sister just said, 206-222-CHAT. 206-222-2428, or email us, technoramachuckchat.com. Like I said, we do this show live every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern on Google Plus. If you want to join us for the hangout, Craig's going to get that whole event thing figured out. So circle him, circle me, he'll circle you. You know, see how that works?
We'll,
and then
we'll
you
circle
find
each
out.
Other.
And it ends up, circle. Sounds like we're taking one of those tests in sixth grade. Use a number two pencil when you circle us, please.
I was going to say the same thing. Bring a number two.
No looking on your neighbor's papers when you listen to Technorama. Special thanks to Mad Marv, who keeps the blog going during the week. All the great content. Craig's hand is a dolphin.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody who sent us links. Tim Elliott, Mad Marv this week that got in the show. There were a whole lot more that we just couldn't fit in. This show went long again. Can you tell? And thank you for joining on the Hangout. It's been a whole lot of fun. Once again, thanks for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. You want to find them? Go to farpointmedia.com. They're all there. They'd love to hear from you, too. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give me a patriotic binary high five.
Da, 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 da. 101.
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Proximity alert. We must be coming up on something.
Oh my god. What can it be? We're all doomed. Who's flying this thing? Oh right, that would be me.